I reach beneath the skin of the street with each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, kills the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real, a brand new radio show on the KBOO airwaves. I'm one of your hosts, Nikki D.
What's up, y'all? This is Aron. We are excited to welcome you to the first episode of Keeping It Real.
Keeping It Real is a talk show, and our goal is to educate and to offer a forum to people for people to speak about the truth and stay open-minded and inclusive.
On Keeping It Real, we take a look at the local, national, and global news that are ignored in the mainstream American media. We shed light on what's happening at the grassroots level in our neighborhood of North Portland and take a critical look at the good and the bad. And we highlight professionals working with youth towards social change, but also empowering people in their communities.
This is a show focused on sharing the perspectives of youth, and we will invite local guests on from North Portland, Portland and the Pacific Northwest, including Seattle, to share their insights, but also their music and artistic talents.
Today on the show, we are going to discuss the news that did not make it onto the mainstream media, and we will also interview a man who was involved in the community in more than one aspect. His name is Haig Brown. Also, we have a very special guest here with us, Mario, who is a student and also going to be our producer in the near future. He's a young man from North Portland who has experienced many things in his journey so far. Welcome, Mario.
Yeah, what's up, bro? Yeah, well, my name is Mario. I'm currently a senior this year at Roosevelt High School. You know, I'm trying to, you know, probably get a good career out of, you know, starting to produce, probably shadow somebody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, since this is our first show, I'm going to introduce myself first, and then I'm going to give Nick a chance to introduce himself. So my name is Aron. I'm a 27-year-old black man who has gone through the U.S. educational system and has experience living in three different cultures, Eritrean, Yemeni, and American. I am someone who serves youth, and I want to bring their voice to the table and explore music, culture, and with them to create more understanding and cultural sensitivity and consciousness. Go ahead, Nick, introduce yourself, please.
My name is Nikki D.
Yeah.
I'm 17 years old, I'm Hispanic and white, and I live in North Portland. I'm all about shining light on what's real and bringing change. I also want to be able to have public conversations with my people and share their talents on the air.
Thank you, Nick, for sharing. Now let's turn into the commentary on the news and what did not make it in the mainstream media. Nick, what do you want to talk about first?
I don't even know. Let's talk about how should police be able to block your social media.
Okay. So in the case of Corey Gaines in Baltimore, I don't know if y'all heard about this, but apparently the police asked Facebook to take down her video right before they shot her. And an hour later, their excuse was that she was being distracted by her followers,
And
that they were giving her bad advice. What do y'all think about that? Should police have the power to control your social media outlets?
No, I really don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that video, they was just seeing what was going on, and they didn't. I feel like maybe they was trying to do something wrong or had an idea of doing something wrong, so they didn't want that to be filmed.
Okay. What about you, Mario? What do you think?
I think that, like, lately police been like doing way too much and like messing with people. It's like in this case, like asking Facebook to take down her page, and it's like, why? If like it's just Facebook, it's social media, like why? If it's gonna get out in the news sooner or later, why? Like, you must have been doing something bad to that person for you to like contact Facebook and then try to take down their page, you know, because there must have been something wrong there. No.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny to me to think that we have certain freedoms, but if it's controlled, like if they set parameters on your freedom, then should we really even call that a freedom?
Right.
You know, if they're tapping into your personal profiles and controlling what you put out there, There is no integrity in that, I believe. You know, unless it was like somebody's safety in line, but I feel like this is a tool for people to, you know, to protect themselves also, to record police, to see that there are good cops out there, obviously, but at the same time, like, if somebody is mistreating you or not following the law, then you should be able to protect yourself in that aspect.
You're right.
What about, you know, like, social media, there are a lot of positives of it, obviously, but there is also a lot of negatives. I see, I'm an educator when I'm not on the radio, of course, and I see a lot of kids, you know, let's say they get in the fight, and you see kids just pull out their phones and record the fight instead of stopping it, or, you know. So what do y'all think about that phenomena?
If you got to think about it, if it's you and you're getting beat up, you're going to want somebody to stop that and not just recording it.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing too is like, I noticed too, like, how people, you said that they don't stop the fight, they just take off their phones and film it. And like, I think like social media like is a problem for that, because some people are just trying to upload it and get views and probably get famous, all that, because they're uploading videos of people fighting.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess it's on us also to educate and teach responsibility around utilizing, you know, technology and media. Let's switch topics real quick, and let's talk about this 14-year-old by the name of Breisha Meadows. She shot her father in his sleep because he was abusive to her and to her mother. And now she is facing life in prison, and she's only 15 now. What do y'all think about that?
I think they need to look into the past and see if there's any times that the police have been called on him before.
Uh-huh.
And also use that in, like, giving her a sentence. But, like, on a personal level, I know it's got to be hard to see your mom going through that. And mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, and there is prior news of her running before. This is not, like, she ran away from the household before because her dad was abusing her. And the gun she used happened to be the same gun that her dad used to threaten her mom before.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess she hit, like, a certain breaking point where she couldn't take it no more. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, it, like, had to come to a certain, like, point where, like, it stopped. And I guess she, like, reached that. Because, I mean, if there was, like, domestic violence going on in the family, and she was having this for, like, however many years it was going on for, like, I think that her trauma was way worse than, you know, she had to do what she had to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for a child to pick up a gun and to shoot somebody, it must have been a lot that happened to this poor girl.
Yeah.
And she was only 14.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I wish healings and positive vibes upon that, you know, upon that little girl, and I hope the best for her. But yeah, so let's switch directions, and let's talk about this new thing that we're going to start in our future episodes of the show. We're going to call that Question of the Day, where we will ask you listeners to call and share a specific experience, thought about some topic discussed that day on the show, and you know, hopefully we'll get that feedback from you. And thank you, boys, for sharing your thoughts on keeping it real. This is Aron.
This is Nikki D.
Yo, this is Mario.
And we'll be back after this break. We're going to play you a song by Blue Scholars, and the song is called Lemaire.
To warn them, post-mortem, we don't mourn them, we go forth, but no, we don't force it. New leak from the office faucet, and all last week the response is awesome.
goes off when a pro goes on. It has been that way since back before college. Just Geo, no longer logic. Still marching, still evolving. Still revolving around, don't stop till we sovereign. Whatever you call it, locked in thought like a Filipino watching. Boxing every so often, peace to the fallen. Here's to the hope that the beats that I'm rocking is reaching your coffin. Yeah, that's my daily routine. Glide through the motions, riding, coasting. Then I burn one slow. Feedback, need that, let it all go. Go. Sunsets in the south end, right next to the mountains. And a light hits sound, right for a minute, then it's time for the clouds. Then it leaks somehow, time of the day when the freaks come out. Till it comes back east, say peace, cause we need some now. Please don't bow, ain't an encore after. Show you how if you asking how to hold down whole towns like a nat disaster. Slow down was the last example. Kill him, chillin' in my b-boy stanza. And use y'all bastards for target practice. Y'all transcend, watch a brother transcend this madness. Catch it, damn, it's trash. Twice if you hear me, three times if you feel me, whether your hands are artillery now, clap once if you see me, clap twice if you hear me, three times if you feel me, whether your hands are artillery now.
And we're back, just keeping it real. I'm Nicky D.
I'm Arone.
The
song you just heard was Lemaire by Blue Scholars. I'm going to talk a little bit about Blue Scholars, y'all. This is like one of my favorite
bands. He sweats them every time we're in the car.
Hey, let me tell you. Everybody has that band that they listen to all the time. That was Blue Scholars for me. I started listening to them back in the day when Nicky D was just little Nick. This was back in 2004. That's when I heard them for the first time. And they're a band located in Seattle, Washington, where I'm from. They basically talk about all issues from immigrants' experiences to racism to classes. They talk about revolutions. One of the DJ is from, he's Persian, and the MC is Filipino. And so they both bring different perspectives also from around the world. Their music is very, very socially conscious. And so I gravitated to it at a very young age. But anyways, to steer the wheel differently right now, I wanted to talk about something that's been buzzing all over the media. And that's one thing we're going to do too. We're going to just talk about some issues that are interesting to us. How many of y'all know the athlete Colin Kaepernick? You both know him, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if y'all heard, but he did not stand for the national anthem. And he is getting crucified about it all over social media.
There's people burning his jersey, too.
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought that was funny because when I looked at his reasons to why he didn't stand up, he said that as a black man in the United States, he didn't feel like the treatment that people from even different ethnic backgrounds receive. And it's not everybody, but on multiple occasions, and we've been seeing that more often in the news, you know, whether it's police brutality, whether it's racism, we still experience those things here in the United States, and it's not all perfect. And it's 2016, almost 2017 now, and so he believed that by standing during the national anthem, that he wasn't being true to himself, and a lot of people took it as disrespect towards veterans and you know, just this the America as a nation. What was your thoughts about that?
Well, when I was at a game in Seattle and they were singing the national anthem, it was so many people around me who didn't stand up, and I was like, and like now that I think about it, it's like a lot of people don't stand up just because they don't want to. Doesn't mean that they are against the U.S. or nothing. Like he did it because of what he believes in, and the only reason that they're making such a big deal is because he's an NFL player, mm-hmm. and the spotlight's always on him.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about it, Mario? Okay, we'll take a call real quick, Mario. All
right, yeah.
Gonna hold on. What's up, John?
Hi, hey, I'm really proud of you, young man. Great show.
Thank you.
Congratulations on getting it rolling. I'm very impressed.
Thank you, thank you.
Remember, if you're going to be 17, or excuse me, 18 by November, I believe it's 8th, the election,
mm-hmm.
you can register online, and they'll mail you the ballot. You got 30 days, and I grab all the free newspapers around town, Mercury and Willamette Week, Portland Observer, Scanner, and they'll have their recommendations.
Okay.
And hey, I'm so impressed by you young men's maturity.
Thank you.
And, oh, you're welcome. And keep up the great work, huh?
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. And we also have Thomas on the line. What's up, Thomas? Thomas, are you online?
Thomas hung up.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll just continue. Go ahead, Mario. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What was your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, everybody's their own person. And, like, honestly, you know, people are going to think what they want to think. And, you know, I mean, he took a stand. I mean, like, some of us, like, don't really get, like, our voice heard like he can. No, mm-hmm. And he's a football player. He got fame. He got more things and more like tools yeah. than most of us. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad that like at least somebody took a stand.
Thank you, Mario. Thomas, are you online with us?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. How you doing?
Great. And you?
Good, good. Thank you.
So one quick question I had was for Mario. I'm interested to learn about your perspective being a teenager in North Portland as a Hispanic male. I'm also Hispanic, and I'm just curious about how you're experiencing the gentrification in North Portland and living in Portland, which is a city that every day is becoming whiter. So if you could just share your experience, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, I mean, lately around my neighborhoods, I've seen, like, a bunch of people moving out, you know, new people moving in. And it's just, like, crazy to see it. Like, to myself, lately I've been thinking, like, dang, is this going to happen to me, too? Am I going to have to, like, look for a new place? You know, and then lately I see my parents, like, stressing, but they don't, you know, they don't want me to, like, really know about it. But, you know, I don't know. It's just, like, I think it's wrong that's what happens to, like, minorities and, you know, they raise the rent. You know, like, what do we do after that, you know? Like, I came here, my parents brought me here so they could give me a better future, but, like, you know, it's making it harder for me. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Thomas, we also have Nick. Nick is also of Hispanic background. So I would like him to also share his experience with it.
I'm not really sure what to say. I know on a block that I grew up in with on my grandma's block, it's a lot of white people on that block, and I think there's like one other Hispanic family that lives down the street, and that's all. And even in the apartments that I live in with my mom, it seems like more and more people are moving out and other people's moving in.
Yeah. And gentrification is one of those beasts that takes a population to change. It's not just one person cannot change that. But together we can. So, you know, if you write your representatives and let them know how you feel about it, so that youngsters like Nick and Mario could remain in their homes, could have the same opportunities as other kids in these neighborhoods and not have to be forced out of there. It takes all of us to make something like that happen. So if you're listening out there, you know, please take the initiative. And also vote. Voting is important. You know, a lot of the times, if we don't go out there and vote, then we really cannot change much. So go out there, talk to your representatives. Go to the city hall and let them know how you feel. It's really important.
You can't just...
Yeah, and thank you, Thomas. We appreciate your question. And if you all, listeners out there, if you want to call and give us feedback, we would love to hear from you.
Is there a number they could call?
503-231-8187. Thank you, Delphine. All right. Now, we're going to carry on with our conversation about Kaepernick. You brought a really good point, Mario, and you said that an athlete at his stature has a platform. And that's one thing that us day-to-day people might not have. And so for him to stand up for people like us, I think is very important. When he did it, based on his explanation, he didn't do it to disrespect veterans. He didn't do it to disrespect, you know, freedom or all these people out there who are sacrificing their lives and their day-to-day family. To give us these freedoms that we have. But what he did expose was the same thing that I think Donald Trump exposed, which is the hidden the hidden racism in America. Not everything is perfect. And us people of color and different ethnic backgrounds, we are lucky to be here in this land because we do get a lot of different freedoms. We do... you know, I'm able to speak my mind freely and not be crucified over it. But at the same time, for somebody like Kaepernick, it broke my heart to see how people were burning his jerseys and ridiculing him for his own personal belief. I feel like that's a constitutional right, freedom of speech. You have the right to not stand up during the national anthem because that's how you feel. You should not be crucified over that, you know? But... Yeah. I don't know. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this topic?
I mean, people always stand up for a change, and there's always when people say that the U.S. is this, the U.S. is that, but at the end of the day, if you go somewhere else, I don't think you're really going to get the freedom that you have here. Mm-hmm. And no matter what people say, basically the U.S. is always going to have more freedom for you. So no matter how messed up you think it is, you can walk down the street and pretty much do whatever you like and not get in trouble, like legally, and not get in trouble.
Yeah, that is true. Mario, is there anything else you'd like before we go into this next music break?
Yeah, like I thought to myself that, you know, some artists, like rappers, they don't really want to get into like topics like that because they're afraid of like lose fame. And like seeing Kaepernick do it, like, you know, it's like he's actually using his voice, and these rappers like ain't using their voice when everybody's listening. So I mean, you know, I'm glad to see that somebody's actually like pays attention to what's really going on and not like blinded by the fame and the money, you know.
Yeah,
because that's what most people, like, once they have like money, you know, they stay quiet because, you know, that's how they're like living. But, you know, to see somebody like that, you know, it's good to know that, you know, you're not alone.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you so much for your thoughtful insights. And thank you for your call. Thank you, Nick, for sharing your thoughts. And thank you, Mario, for sharing your thoughts as well. You are listening to Keeping It Real with Aron.
And Nicky D.
And Mario.
We're going to take another music break. The song is called Pride, and it's by Kevin Gates.
I'm find okay to cry. Try to be the tough guy. He think about you all the time. Start to feel it backfire. No one love you like I. Hope our love ain't expired. Try to figure out why. He dying on the inside. One day I'll get over.
I knew I loved you when I met you. Some say this don't exist. Emotions captured out there. You ain't care who you was with. In your apartment off a seat. Had a brief disagreement. You moved back to Houston. We went like 3 years without speaking. Now I got back on drugs bad. While I was still chasing jealousy. My heart was broke. Suffering stress and battle with my depression. I'm sorry for that. My team was on me. Harder than ever. Not a worry in a world whenever we was together. I flew you out to Miami. We laid up in the suite. Bathtub full of fruits while I was rubbing your feet. We went to Bloomingdale's, I bought us matching great theory sweats. Said I ain't want you to leave before you boarded the jet.
When you're alone at night and need somebody by your side, no matter wrong or right, saying it's gonna be alright. No one to hold you tight, no one to look you in your eyes. As if it ain't okay to cry, try to be the tough guy. You think about you all the time. Start to feel it backfire. No one love you like I. Hope our love ain't expired. Try to figure out why. He dying on the inside. One day I'll get over my pride.
Shout out to Norton, that's my personal trainer. He cool with you because of you. I not treat him like a stranger. Big booty shelving. I know things ain't work with me and your system. Best to a life has to offer love. You still my little sister. Pull up and fix it. An engine, HP tip, tronic transmission. For the Porsche reminiscing. Wishing that you was here with me. I used to tease you about your feet. We were laughing, we giggling, having breakfast on the beach. You don't know how much that meant to me. Holding hands and having to remind. Public affection with you and me. Don't need nobody, God. I'm your protector. FaceTime, and I can't wait until you call me. You special, you had that problem. Now that problem solved. He won't disrespect you, uh-huh. Not there
when you're alone at night and need somebody by your side. No matter wrong or right. He think about you all the time. Start to feel it backfire. No one love you like I. Hope our love ain't expired. Try to figure out why. He dying on the inside. One day I'll get over my pride.
Not ever love. Not ever. You know I ever love. No one ever respect you love. I'ma kill someone if someone did respect you love. I see you looking at me. Is she a friend, girl? Yeah, I don't know where you ain't, girl. Oh, she from the island, she be... Ooh.
And we're back, just keeping it real. I'm Nicky D.
This is Mario.
And I'm Aron.
And that was Pride by Kevin Gates. And, like Aron did with the Blue Scholars, I'm going to tell y'all, like, I listen to Kevin Gates. I don't know, something about his music. And, like, when you watch a video, one of his music videos, he's actually, like, rapping about, like, there's a song called Got It Out the Mud or something like that. And he worked on his own and did all that. And another reason I wanted to play him is because I know that you don't really hear a lot of his songs on the radio other than Two Phones or Really Really.
Yeah. But you wanted to show the conscience side of his music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Y'all just think he's some violent person, like.
Okay. Well, now we're going to go into the next segment, which is our interview. We are going to talk, or we are going to listen to the interview that we had with Hike Brown, who's a coach and a security guard at our school, and also did gang outreach. He mentors many youth in Portland, and we're going to play you the interview we have with him.
The work I do is gang outreach and youth advocacy, and it's more gang prevention. So we're out in the community wherever the kids are and giving them information on just staying positive and staying out of gangs and just staying out of trouble, period, and not just gangs, just overall youth advocacy and making sure they're making the right decisions. I coach a youth wrestling program at Grant High School called Portland Inner City Wrestling. What made me choose this path is I grew up in this community and seeing the deterioration of the community and how it's gone down. I felt it is my job just growing up in this community to give back and to bring this community back to where it was before, where everybody could walk around with their heads up and speak to everybody and trust everybody. Just seeing some of the kids and knowing that we've changed those lives and having one kid who's been shot come back and say thank you for everything that you've done and making positive changes towards either getting their diploma, their GED, and actually going back to school and holding a full-time job. So just those rewards of having those kids come back and thank you for the work that you've done and the positive influence that you've had on their lives is the most gratifying thing.
If you could give any piece of advice to the listeners out there, what would it be?
Listen. It would be listen to the people that are your elders, your parents. They're not there to tell you something wrong. They're there to guide you to make sure you either make the right decisions or make the right decisions that they didn't make in their lives that was a lesson so they could tell you, hey, I've been there before, I've done that, don't do that. Won't you try this way so you don't get in trouble, you don't end up in prison, jail, community service, whatever.
And now to talk about your wrestling a little bit. How many kids do you coach? And if you just could think about a number on top of your head, I know it's a lot.
Probably touch about the beginning of the season to the end, which starts in September and goes until July, 45 to 50 youth, ages 4 or 5 years old up to 18. For me, for wrestling, it gives them consistency. If I'm there every day and open up the gym at this time and close it at this time, they know that that's a place they can come. If they don't come to practice that day, they still know that I'm there. Like I said, just for most of these kids, it's just being consistent and giving them something to do. For some of the ones that have a little extra energy, gives them something to do, something to burn off that energy.
And how long have you coached?
Off and on for about 20 years.
Wow. So that's a lot of experience, huh?
Just a little bit.
Have you had any, like, adult wrestlers come back and get back to your program?
Not quite yet, because I started the youth program about 9 years ago.
Okay,
so there's still... They're just getting up into high school. In fact, I'll probably have my first graduate this year, so...
Have you guys been outside of Portland to wrestle?
Yes, we've been all over. We've been to Wisconsin. We've been to Minneapolis. We've been to Chicago, Idaho, Las Vegas, Reno, California. Just trying to give these kids an experience outside of their comfort zone, which is their community.
And you talked about comfort zone. How important is it for youth, and even just for adults in general, to step out of that?
It's good because it shows growth. Once you can get out and function in something that you're not comfortable doing, it shows that you've grown and you can extend and you have goals and you're moving forward. Once you get stuck in that little bubble, you become almost like institutionalized, where everything you do is within that bubble and you don't do anything else. You don't try anything else. You don't go beyond these boundaries or anything like that. So just being able to go outside and do that, it just shows a lot of growth.
Is there anything else that you'd like to leave for our listeners, our youth, our adults out there?
Just stay positive and, like I said, listen to the adults. Listen to people that have walked in those shoes already. They're, you know, trying to help you make the right decisions, and don't get mad when they tell you something is right.
Thank you, Mr. Hyde.
Thank you.
You just heard the interview with Mr. Hyde Brown. This is a man who does a lot of work with youth all over Portland, really. Portland, Gresham, Clackamas. He's all over the place. Hyde is a coach. He has over 20 years of experience coaching, 6 years of experience with gang outreach. He's a walking library of knowledge. He's done a lot of work for our youth, including the two young men that are sitting with me today. So I'm going to direct this question at both you, Nick, and Mario. What are your experiences working with Haig?
Well, I mean, like, since I met Haig when I first went into PIC, like, I really didn't know him, and, like, I didn't know his, like, background story, you know? Like, it was just, like, you know, it's a school security guard, you know? And until, like, I started seeing that there was, like, this boys group where everybody just sat around, and there was adults, and they just sat all the teenagers down, and they talked, and they're like, what y'all want to talk about, you know? And I remember him talking about, like, his experience and what he had to go through and his wrongs, you know, mm-hmm. and his struggles, and, you know, and it, like, the things he says and the way he, like, puts it together, it just makes you stop and think, like, yo, like, you know, this ain't no joke. Like, he really makes you think about it, like, think before you act, you know. And he's not just saying that just to say it, you know, he's saying it because, you know, he already knows. He already went through, like, you know, the mm-hmm. struggle, you know, he knows how it is, so he could tell you, you know.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Nick?
He's cool. I mean, he's not just a security guard or another person at the school. It's like he's actually, no matter how he acts with you or how you see him, everyone knows that, like, he's there for you. And I know if a kid has an interview, he'll help them get to that interview, or they have somewhere to be, that he'll help them get there. And with me, he's always been there, and we've always, like, messed around and been cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. And me working with Haig, I'm a young guy, so I'm still picking his brain all the time and asking him how would he handle certain situations, and he's always got great advice. But more than that, I've always seen him go the extra mile to support youth in whatever they need. Like you said, whether it was getting them to an interview or, like, family crisis, he's always been working so hard. He even drove all the way out to Minnesota to get his kids to a wrestling tournament. So that shows his dedication. Anyways, for the viewers out there, if y'all want to give him a shout out, go ahead and call POIC or Rosemary Anderson. And now some of the things that he brought up in the interview that stuck out to me were consistency. Across the board, I think it's very important to be consistent, whether it's your day-to-day life or, you know, at work, being consistent and being there for youth. So if you deal with youth, be consistent, be there for them. And if you're one of those young kids who's listening, listen to what your parents are telling you. 90% of the time, 99% of the time is something that they've been through that they don't want you to go through. And then step out of that comfort zone, and that goes to everybody. Step out of your comfort zone. You are going to go nowhere if you stay comfortable. Being uncomfortable, the constant change is what gets the learning. That's the learning experience there. I know it's easy sometimes. It's easier to be comfortable. It's easier to just do the same things. But every now and then, change it up. Go to those uncomfortable places and learn more about yourself. Now, we are going to go back into more news, and we're going to talk about, I saw Eritrea, that's where I'm from, y'all. I saw that on the news, and so I clicked on it. Nick, I know you're laughing over here, but this is a very serious one. On one day, more than 40 boats were rescued off the coast of Italy on the Mediterranean Sea. Over 10,000 people rescued from those boats. Due to the conditions in Eritrea, people have been trying to leave. And people, when they're interviewed, a lot of those refugees said that it is better. And I want you guys to put yourself in their shoes right now. It is better to go on a boat that's overcrowded, okay? And these are like rafts and you know, they're not like huge
yachts,
like yachts and ferries and stuff. No, they're like little airboats. It's better to go on a crowded one okay, with your kids, with everything you own in life, to an uncertain
They're not
seat.
Even able to bring something, like, if it's that packed. They're not, they're leaving their stuff behind.
Yeah, and it's like, they're going into the sea, okay? They don't know where they're headed. They don't even know the person who's navigating the boat. They don't know if they have experience or anything. They're just some smugglers taking them across. But they are willing to put their lives on the line for that than to stay home because of how the conditions are. What comes to your minds as two young men with all the opportunities and everything that's present to you? What comes into your mind when you hear something of that severity?
It's really, like, I couldn't really say that I've been in that position, but I know that I would never want to. But just leaving everything that you have in a life and just taking off because it's something that's bad, I feel that if I had it in my power, I would help them get here, help mm-hmm. set them up.
Yeah. That's because you're a nice guy, Nick. Appreciate you for that. What about you, Mario?
Dang, I mean, I don't know. I see, like you just said, that they're like, it's better to go on a crowded raft than nothing. And I mean, you know, like I said, people, like, they got to do what they got to do sometimes, mm-hmm. You know, they got to weigh out the options and, you know.
Yeah, if there's a chance to make it, then that's what they'll take.
Yeah, just trying to look for opportunities, like, a better life, you know.
Yeah,
because, you know, if they have, like, their own family, you know, they don't want them to go through that. So they're going to look for opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And it just breaks my heart because a lot of those people don't make it too, you know. Yeah. Imagine these are 10 people that were rescued and they were lucky. There have been a lot of people passing, and some were my family members as well. And so it's really painful, but at the same time, I understand why they do that, because the conditions are unlivable. And then, you know, I'm lucky to be here because I get to, you know, I get opportunities. I could go to work. I know there is a meal at home when I get there, you know. And then there's on the other hand, this is some good news. The first U.S.-Cuba commercial flight landed today. In Cuba, and this is after 50 years of U.S. and Cuban diplomatic relationships being on shaky ground. What do y'all think about that?
It's great.
Yeah.
We all need to work together in this world.
Mm.
Right, you know, everybody got to start somewhere, you know.
Yeah, it's a good beginning. You know, Cuba is a beautiful country, at least from what I see and what I read about it. And so I'm really glad that the United States and Cuba are on good terms again. But yeah, anyway, so now I'm gonna move on, and I'm gonna start asking y'all questions. Cause, you know,
oh, hold on. I have a question for you. What was your experience like coming over here and the reason that y'all came here?
Okay.
And leaving everything?
Man, you kind of took my question. That's what I was planning on asking y'all. But no, my experience coming to the United States was interesting. I'm from Eritrea. My parents are, at least. I was born and raised in Yemen. In Yemen, you know, we were treated very well with our neighborhood. You know, the people were very nice to us, and we grew up as one of their own. But when it came to society over there, we were not equal. We were second-class citizens. By second-class citizens, I mean, that we knew that it was for certain once we got past high school, we couldn't choose what field we wanted to go into, even if we would get accepted into a college there, simply because of who we were, where we were from. It wasn't even because of our credentials or, you know, what we could accomplish. And so my parents tried everything in their power to get us here, and they succeeded. We moved here in October, right after 9/11, so the security at the airports were, like, heightened. I remember as little kids, when we got to London, they separated all of us from our family and put us in different rooms, and huge men with guns and ammunition and you know, like, military outfits interrogated us. I was only 12 years old. I didn't even speak English at the time, so it was, like, a crazy, scary time. And I know you're laughing, Nick, because it is funny.
You make me seem like I'm just a rude person. I'm not even laughing.
No, Nick is a great guy. But, no, it was just, it was crazy to think about, because it was just, like, you know, I didn't know what to say to these men, because they're sitting there speaking to me in English. They didn't even give me a translator, and I'm this tiny, you know, 12-year-old. So it was, 12. Yeah, it was really interesting. But luckily, we made it to Seattle, and we had a lot of good experiences growing up there. Went to school, went to university, and now I have the chance to work with a lot of gifted youth, including you two. But now let me ask you the same question. What's your stories? What are some of the hardships you faced growing up? I know, Mario, you're an immigrant, and Nick, I know your dad is from Mexico as well, right? So I'd like you guys to elaborate a little bit about your lives.
Well, all right, y'all want me to go first?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know, I'm Mexican, you know. I'm not born here, you know. I'm born in Mexico, but I try to, like, keep it on the low because, you know, with, like, everything going on and mm-hmm. the way that I grew up, and everybody's just like, if anybody asks you where you were born, say you were born here, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, like, stays like that. Mm-hmm. Even till now, you know, I kind of have to think about it, you know, like, should I tell them or not? But, you know, I came here when I was 4, so, you know, I didn't know no English at all. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting here and then my mom and dad taking me to school and then walking into that class, everybody speaking a different language I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I felt like an outcast. I'm like, you know. And I remember coming home one day and telling my mom, like, I don't like school. I don't understand anything they're saying. Uh-huh. You know, I have no friends. And it was just hard for a while, you know, adapting to, like, something new, you know, a new language, mm-hmm. a new way of, like, lifestyle, you know. And, yeah. I mean, I kind of grew into it, you know. And, you know, like, other Mexicans, like, they call me weird because, like, since I'm not, like, I didn't grow up as, like, other Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
they call me weird because I don't really like Mexican music, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They call me weird, like, some things I picked up from, like, my black friends or, yeah. you know, because that's, like, my first friend that I made here was, like, light-skinned. Yeah. So, you know, his dad, and we used to, like, play basketball a lot. So I kind of grew into that, you know.
Into that culture, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of adapted to that and grew into that. And so that's why other Mexicans call me weird. Yeah.
What about you, Nick? What's your experience?
Me growing up, I was just raised by my mom and my grandma and grandpa, and my father, he's never been here. Like, he left before I was even born, so I've never really been into the Mexican culture, and I've never been really been around it until, like, recently I met my aunt and my cousin. And so when people ask, like, what ethnicity I am or race, and I tell them, they're like, oh, you don't speak Spanish? How do you consider yourself Mexican if you don't speak Spanish? And I'm like, if you understood that I never grew up around anybody speaking Spanish with me, you would understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just, Mario, when you said, you know, you got to school and didn't understand anything,
yeah.
it brought back a real funny memory for me. My very first day in school, I got lunch detention, and I didn't know what that was. And so, like, the security guard would come and pull me out of the lunch line, and I'd go back. As soon as he turned around, I'd go right back to the lunch line. And I get my food and he take it away from me. And it was just like a cat and mouse chase the entire lunch period.
Yeah.
But yeah, it brought back those feelings as soon as you said that. It's really hard to come into a different country and not understand the culture. And you really feel like you're on your own. And so thank you for painting that picture. And then shout out to all the single mothers over there.
Yeah.
It is tough raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
On your own. And so we respect you, we love you, and we appreciate you.
Right. I know I've done put my mom through a lot of stuff, and I get on her nerves every day, but she's still here.
Okay. Now let's talk about the future. What does that look like for y'all? What are your dreams and aspirations?
Money. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to not just make money and say that I have money. I want to be able to make money and know that no one's ever going to be able to take my house away from me because I don't have money, or I'm always going to be able to have a roof over my head and over, like, have kids and make sure that they're set and not move from house to house because we have to keep downgrading or get in new houses because we're not having enough money. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay. What about you, Mario? What does that look like for you?
Well, for me, you know, kind of thought about this since everybody's always asking me. And I'm the youngest out of all four brothers. And, you know, I got a lot of weight on me. But, like, thinking to myself, I think for my future, I just don't want to get old and then pay bills for the rest of my life.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I actually want to do something with, like, my life. Like, I want to have, like, my voice heard, you know? I want to know. I want to let people know the way that I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to, like, feel like I'm the same as everybody else. You know, yeah. I want to stand out.
And do something different.
Like, yeah.
Create your own path.
And do some, like, make money doing something that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to work and get money and not like what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I was talking with one of my professors who's been teaching for a long time at the University of Idaho. Shout out to Mr. Bill Smith. He was telling me that a lot of the students that came his way, he could see that they were career driven, not passion driven, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They went to school to get money. And then there were some students who went to school to seek the knowledge to better themselves, you know. I mean, honestly, money is the root, like, of, you know, a lot of people's main motivation is money. You need it to, you know, survive and pay bills and to exist.
Yeah, I want to touch on that, too. Like, I'm not just saying I'm going to do anything, any job for money. I have to like what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, it's just, it's interesting that we work 8 to 9 hours a day trying to pay bills. But a lot of people, including myself, you know, I work so much. But every day I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to go and see the world. You know, I want to change the world, you know. And the more you work, the faster that money's gone. It's interesting, you know. And I've been, like, trying to learn how to invest, how to do all of these things, budget, do all of that. But it really is important to enjoy your life. The next moment is not guaranteed, you know. And if your legacy that you leave behind is going to be work, 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 then, you know, that's one thing. But I prefer to leave a legacy that, you know, I changed something about this world. You know, I leave my mark here before I leave. So, yeah, I really respect that about you two young men. Is there any advice that you would give people out there?
I don't know. Like, I always tell myself this little quote in my head, you know,
mm-hmm.
for doing something, you know. It's like, don't get burned by the same flame, mm-hmm. you know. Think before you act, you know. And make sure that you're, like, sure of what you're going to do always.
Okay. That's very interesting. Don't get burned by your flame?
By the same flame.
By the same flame. Can you elaborate more on that?
So, like, don't get burned by the same flame is, like, to me, like, how I see it is, like, if you messed up somewhere in your life and it became an issue and, you know, you didn't learn from it and you do it again and, like, you back in where you started, you know, then you're getting burned by the same flame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Nick?
This ain't really with, like, a job or nothing, but it's, like, with school. Like, I know that my freshman year and halfway through sophomore year, I had, like, three credits. So don't just play and think that it's a joke, because now, like, I'm a senior and I'm going to graduate this year. And it's really about, like, if you're not liking your school or you're not liking what you're doing and you just want to drop out because you don't like it, like, find something else, because you know that you're going to need the education. You need to do what you got to do.
Okay. Appreciate that. And I'm going to hold you to that in the classroom too, Nick. Remember that. Yeah, yeah. I'm still your teacher. But, you know, and I guess my piece of advice, even though nobody asked for it, I guess it would be enjoy your life, you know. A lot of us, we're so serious and we work very hard to provide for ourselves and our families. And but really, if we don't live for these little happy moments, you know, then we're really missing out on life. We don't have a lot of time left on Earth. Even our existence within itself, in the grand scheme of things, is not, you know, it's not that significant. Like, when it comes to time since Earth started, depending on which, however long you believe it is, in the grand scheme of things, we've really existed just for a fraction of the time. So, you know, and think about your life and how long it spans. Please, 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 don't be too serious about everything. Enjoy life. Laugh, love, have fun. And on that note, since we're getting close to the end, I want to say thank you guys for your input. Now look for more from us in November. Our next episode will be coming up then. We'll have more exciting guests on the show. We are every fifth Wednesday of the month.
Thank everybody for tuning in to Keeping It Real. This is a brand new radio show on KBOO. And this is Nikki D.
And this is Mario.
And I am Aron. Join us next time. But until next time, keep it real.
Same time begin to pen mine, appreciating God's design. Rewind sister, reminds me of a smile in the back of my memory. Wonder if I see her again, will she remember me? I'm not trying to holler, I swear. I'm just weary of the way we hop a ride and just sit there and stare. Prepare for my 9 o'clock work meeting. A couple pale folks slide right by with no greeting. But the people with my phenotype follow with a head nod up. Cause we acknowledge that the shit fucked up. North of Martin Luther King, a straight war zone. Detours through the concrete cranes and bulldozers. Know the hill is not over still. Every block got a coffee shop, it's overkill. Focus, no big deal. Dope to see Khalil back. The medicine is good again. The feeling of leaving and coming back to your hood again is priceless. I write this, our lives are in crisis. Most talk but don't walk the path of the righteous. Despite this, I measure each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, kills the pain in my chest. Clutch the moment, a transfer in my hand, still listening. Looking out the window to the gold and the green. And the sun might be shining, but it's colder than it seems. Cause the weather's dialectical, there's no in between. In walks an old soul, a First Nation native cat, chiseled like a totem pole. No words as he stands and looks over us. He gets off and says, have a good day, you foreigners. I crack a smile one time for the acknowledgement. Northbound, now we start to pick up more college kids. They try to study on the ride to make up for the fact that they probably kicked it hard last night. And I ponder if it's time to save up and get a car and pay for the gas that we're taking from the war. I'd miss all the colorful faces, the places and spaces I've embraced with the faith that I can rest in. Raise kids here even